and finishing the material, hopefully, Lord willing. And it's been a really good quarter. I studied the life of Christ. I remember when I took the life of Christ, first time I took it, and I said, well, I wish I could someday be able to teach the life of Christ. And that's what I've been able to do at some point in this quarter, teaching on the life of Christ. And I hope it has been rewarding to you, not because of the teacher, but because of the topic, the materials we've been covering, which are really, really rewarding. And I'm going to be honest, a lot of this material was new to me. Just studying the gospel accounts, it can take you a long time to study one gospel account. Now, going all four together, it can take you a long time. So this is a lifelong process to be learning everything in these gospel accounts, and it's definitely worth it, for sure. And okay, very good. We've been studying the last three sessions on the last week of Jesus' ministry. We began on a Friday, and then last Sunday we saw the next Friday, which was the Friday of his resurrection. And tonight we're just going to see from the cross to the ascension. From the cross to the ascension. And believe it or not, it's several days as far as the Bible. It's more than 40 days, about 40 days. The Bible mentions that he appeared to them for 40 days. So, but even though it seems like a small material, it's a lot of things that happen from the time he went to the cross and died to the time he ascended. So last class session, we looked at the crucifixion. And we saw that we can divide the crucifixion. It's 6 hours that the crucifixion took. We can divide them in three first hours from 9 to noon, and then 3 more hours from noon to 3. And then from noon to 3 is the 3 hours when the darkness came upon the earth. And the Lord could have not chosen a better time to bring darkness that noon itself, when it's the sun is the brightest. And that's when darkness began on earth, at that time when Jesus was crucified. Okay, so we can divide that, and then Jesus was dead, and then we see how Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body, and then he took him to that new tomb, and that's where they laid him. And it was the custom to put the bodies in that tomb, and then roll that big stone across the entrance, so no one could enter or leave, and then that way the tomb, the body will be guarded in some way. But the Jewish leaders were not satisfied with just the rock, the stone. They went and requested 4 guards because they remembered that someone had said that he was going to come back from the dead. So they say that we better put someone there to watch for the tomb, lest somebody comes and steals the body. Okay, sure enough, that's what they did. They had some guards, but we're going to learn tonight that those guards didn't have it easy, especially on a Sunday morning when an earthquake came and they fell. They saw an angel and fell like dead men. And then we'll see what happened in that. So let's if you have your Bibles, if you can open it up, I'm going to start in Matthew 28. And, I have here every instance of this, every part of the different gospel writers here before me. And we're going to be comparing them, as we go on. We're not going to do a text verse by verse because it will be impossible, but I'll make some comments as we go. But in Matthew 28, first 8 verses, you have your Bible there, we're going to see the angels announce the resurrection to certain women, and then Peter and John enter the empty tomb. That's what we're going to read about in this first part of the account. But notice Matthew 28, first 8 verses, and I'm reading the New King James. Now after the Sabbath, and we remember there was nothing happened that Sabbath, it was a day of rest. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Notice, Matthew is telling us as the day began to dawn, because Sunday will also be the evening before. But he's saying it is the latter part of the Jewish Sunday, which is the morning, when the women came to the tomb. So it was Mary Magdalene and then Mary. And we'll see that there were who these women were shortly. Notice that Matthew, what he's doing, I'm just pointing out, just general, he's just summarizing what happened. He's only going to mention one angel. And this is going to be important, because Matthew and Mark mention one angel, but Luke is going to mention two angels. So what happened? It's who's telling the truth? And so we're going to look at that too, just briefly. Okay? So he's mentioning just one angel, and he's giving additional elements of the instructions the angel gave to the woman. But notice verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, and for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door." How nicely and the providence of God right here manifested in a miraculous way. Why is the angel rolling away the stone? Why do you think the angel is rolling away the stone? Is he just doing it for fun? Show off his strength? Well, first, angels won't act independent of their instructions. They're given instructions as to what to do. But second, we're going to see that if it wasn't for the angel rolling away the stone, the woman wouldn't be able to go into the tomb to verify the body wasn't there. Then later, Peter and John came also and went into the tomb, and they saw it was empty. Okay, so the angel is rolling away the stone, and for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like a lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, okay? So like I said, Matthew and Mark are going to mention one angel, but Luke mentions two. Now, how can we reconcile this? Or how can we explain? Well, there can be a couple of ways. The Bible is already in harmony. We don't need to find harmony. It's in harmony. We just need to understand it. And make sense of what we're reading. But it could be that Matthew and Mark are recording, because how many angels spoke? One or two? According to Matthew, is one angel addressing them. So it could be that Matthew and Mark are focusing on the angel who spoke and not on the angel who was not speaking. Could be. Or it could be also that by the time the woman went into the tomb, there was one angel there, but then later another angel joined him. So that could be a way to explain it or to understand it. And if you have another way you could explain it, it will be good to hear it too. Okay, but this is how we can understand this. So it's important to understand that none of the synoptic gospels, where I'm talking about synoptic, none of the synoptic gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are trying to give a full account of everything that happened. They are giving what's important in their eyes, or what they saw, or what they what they intend to transmit to us. And even John doesn't record this conversation at all. Yes, Jane, please. Okay, very good point. Correct. And John might have said, well, since already Matthew, Mark, and Luke are recording this conversation, there's no need for me to record it again. So, good point, James. Thank you. Okay, so, and even when we read what the angels said, it's going to be different what is recorded of the angels. But notice verse 6. He said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." And he said, "Come and see the place where the Lord lay." So as soon as this woman received the commandment, they went to tell the apostles, because the angel told them, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and indeed he's going before you into Galilee. Okay, therefore you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Okay, so they went out quickly from the tomb and with fear and joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. Okay, very good. Now notice the account of Mark. If you want to keep your finger there, or if not, I'm just going to read it out loud. Mark tells us, and I'm not going to read the whole verses, but just a few. But now notice, now when the Sabbath was passed, now Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices. Okay, now he's mentioning three women. But when we read Luke's account, he's also going to mention another woman named Joanna. So we have here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 women. If I'm counting correctly. Mary 1, Joanna 2, Mary the mother, 4 women, excuse me. Okay, which came to the tomb. Okay, 4 women which came to the tomb. And all the accounts said that they came very early on Sunday morning. So far what had happened is very early on Sunday morning, the guards were watching the stone, the tomb, and then an earthquake came, and then the angel rolled away the stone, and then the guards fell like dead. At some point, the guards woke up or stood up again from laying down on the floor, and as the women were coming, they took off. To do what? The guards took off to tell those who hired them or who sent them what had happened. And that's when they devised a plan to say that, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to tell them that they stole the body. That's going to be our answer. And so that's why when the women come, they don't see any guards there anymore, because they're already gone to tell what happened. Okay, so that's, I was reading Mark's account. Okay, now I'm going to jump to Luke's account, just mention a few things. Now notice how Luke begins. Now on the first day of the week, I'm in Luke 24, 1 through 8. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. Okay, again, this we know which women were, 4 women. Okay, and then, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Okay, there's something very interesting here. Okay, so far I've told you there's 4 women here. Mary Magdalene, the mother of James, Salome, and Joanna. Okay, 4 women. But now notice John. Okay, if you're taking notes, I'm in John 20, 1 through 10. Okay, now notice how John begins. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord. They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Okay, so how can we explain this? Now Matthew, Mark, and Luke are mentioning these 4 women. Now John comes and mentions just 1 woman, Mary Magdalene. What could have happened? And remember, they're giving us, like James mentioned, they're giving us with a purpose. And they're giving us their account as eyewitnesses, as witnesses of these events, or as being inspired from the Holy Ghost. The only way we can understand this is that, like the Synoptic Gospel said, 4 women came together to the tomb to bring spices, etc. And as soon as Mary Magdalene saw that the tomb was empty, she immediately took off and left the other 3 women there by the tomb. She just took off. She left. So that's why John is emphasizing how Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and then ran. Notice John mentioned that she ran to go to Simon and Simon Peter and John. So that left the other three women at the place where the tomb was. And that, since Mary Magdalene had already gone to tell Peter and John, now these three women had more time to examine the place with more leisure. Am I making sense? I hope I'm not losing you. Okay, so four women come, one takes off, three remain, and then the rest of the events happen. Evidently, since Mary Magdalene left, she didn't stay for the conversation with the angel. She didn't get to see that. She didn't get to hear the angel or hear the instructions. So Mary Magdalene takes off right away. Okay, now notice, let me see. Luke says that they went into the tomb and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, going back to John, okay, Mary Magdalene left, and then she ran and came to Simon Peter. Okay, now notice something very interesting. When Mary Magdalene arrives where Simon and John are, they come running to the tomb. And this is in John's account, John 20, first 10 verses. Now, who gets to the tomb first, John or Peter? I might be trying to refresh your minds here. It might not be on your mind, this story, but if you remember, John outran Peter, which gives us an idea that maybe he was younger and Peter was older. It could be. And also, we also learned that as soon as John arrived to the tomb, he did not go immediately there. But now the older one, who is always wanting to speak first and wanting to do things first, he just goes inside the tomb right away. And then once Peter's inside, now John goes inside. So it's very interesting, the differences in age and character we can see in these verses. And we can read about this in John 20, first 10 verses, on this account. Okay? Now, interesting that when Peter and John get to the tomb, there's no more woman there, because the three women that were remaining there, had already left. To do what? Go find the apostles. So John gets there first. There's no one there. No guards. No angels. No women. Then Peter follows behind him, and they both go into the tomb, and then they leave. But now guess who's following behind them? Mary Magdalene is following behind them. Well, now because she ran to go tell them. Now imagine a woman, if a man running, I mean anybody running that fast and in a hurry, that excited, with that excitement. I mean, you can feel exhausted, and we can imagine maybe Mary catching up her breath, and then John and Peter arrive first before her, and she's following behind them. Then when Mary arrives, now there's not even John or Peter there anymore, because they already came, saw that he's not, they took off back to the disciples. To the other apostles, which it looks like they were at Bethany. Okay? And now happens something very important on these events. The first appearance of Jesus after his resurrection. Do you know who he appeared to first? This is a final test question. Let's see who can answer. Who did Jesus appear to first? Who is left close by the tomb at this point, as the events, Mary Magdalene is the one left. Everybody has gone. Now, why didn't Peter and James see the angels? Well, because they probably were already gone. But remember, angels can be invisible and can appear and disappear. So they could have been gone, or they could have still be there, but they were invisible. We don't know. But they didn't see the angels, Peter and John. So notice what happens. Okay, let me see. Let me pick up where Mary receives sees Jesus sees the Lord for the first time. Notice, that's going to be beginning in verse 11, John 20, 11. Okay, so when Mary finally reached the tomb again, no one was there. Okay, now notice, verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping. Okay, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head of the one at the head and the other one at the feet, where the body was laid, where the body of Jesus had laid. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Okay? And Jesus will do this often. He will appear to other people and they will not know that was him. And it's very interesting, and I wish I could explain why or how. I don't know, but he did it at least three times, two more times beside this one. Okay, so, and she did not know. Now when she, let me see, I lost my verse. And then, let's see, let's try it, verse 13. Then she said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. 15. John 20, 15. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." So now, after Mary saw Jesus and talked to him, now she takes off. She leaves again now to go and meet with all the apostles. Okay, but notice Mark mentions specifically that it was, notice Mark 16:9, "Now when he arose early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene." So she had the privilege of seeing him first after his resurrection. Okay, the first appearance was to Mary Magdalene. Okay, now all the gospel accounts support what Mark is saying, and they all are in one accord. Okay, now, and what was the reaction of the apostles when they were given this new good news of Jesus' resurrection? Did they say, "Oh, that's great, let's see where he is"? Or what was their reaction? They were septic. They didn't believe. They thought they were just telling stories. So, and we read, for instance, Mark 16:11. Mark tells us they did not believe. They did not believe what they were hearing. Okay? Okay, so far, are we so far so good? Because I can go back to all the beginning and tell you all this again. Would you like that? Okay, don't answer. Okay, that's fine. Let me go. Let me keep going. Okay? Okay, now, we have also the account, Matthew tells us, and I'm just going to mention, Matthew 28, 11 through 15, tells us what happened with the guards. Now where they were going, behold, some of the guard came in the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. Okay? And so when the elders had assembled together, they consulted together, and they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept." Okay, notice how they will explain the resurrection. And I'm reading from Matthew 28, 11 through 15. Okay, so we have, we have the first appearance, and I have the second appearance, Okay, yes, let's see. Okay, yes, first appearance to Mary Magdalene, but the second appearance, now I'm going to give you a second opportunity. Who was the second appearance to? Now you're going to say, well, first, let us know, and then you give us a test afterwards, but I'm giving you the test as we go, okay, because this is my last chance, okay, and... excuse me? No, it was the other woman as they were going back to see the disciples. Okay, so immediately after he appeared to Mary, Jesus appeared to the other woman before they arrived to Bethany where they were. Notice Matthew 28:9-10. Notice, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held them by the feet and worshipped him. Who? The other two women. Okay, Salome, Mary the mother of James, and Joanna. And that's the second appearance to these three women. Okay, so we have two appearances. And I'm hoping I'll be able to walk you through some other appearances. As much in order as we can do them. Okay, we have the first two appearances, and now let's see if we can find, spot the second two, the third and fourth appearances. Okay, so far, he has not appeared to his disciples or the apostles. It's interesting, important to know how John uses the word disciples, but he's meaning the apostles. Okay? Now, so far he hasn't appeared to the apostles yet, but notice, before he appears to the apostles, there's a wonderful story in Luke chapter 24. And you might remember about it, and we don't have time to read all the story. It's Luke 24:13-35. And it's two disciples as they were walking to a place called Emmaus. Okay, which was about 7.5 miles from Jerusalem. So they're walking to this town in Emmaus, and then as they're walking, Jesus comes with them. Okay, and again, they did not see that it was Jesus. They didn't understand that was him. And then Luke tells us that one of the disciples' name was Cleophas. And then Cleophas asked Jesus, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who have not known the things which happened these days? And then he said to them, what things? Now they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. And yes, a certain woman of her company who have arrived to the tomb early astonished us. Why? Because they told us that they didn't find his body. And they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Notice how the gospel writers, all these stories just go together. They're all supporting each other, okay? Different words they chose, but they are supporting each other. Different pictures they're painting, but they all complement each other, okay? Now this gets Jesus angry because they did not understand the scriptures, and then he calls them all foolish ones and slow of heart, believe in all that the prophet had spoken, and then he begins to explain to them how the Christ was supposed to suffer and be crucified and then go into the glory. Okay, and now as they arrived to the town, he pretended like he was going to keep on going, and they said, well, come and stay with us. So he came and stayed with them because it was already towards the evening. And then as he was at the table with them, and he took bread and then broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes, John 24:31, then their eyes were open and they knew him. And then when they knew him, he vanished. And then they draw conclusions and they begin to say, well, didn't we Didn't our heart burn while he was talking with us? Didn't our spirit was stirred as he was telling us what the prophet said? And I like what these men are saying. I wish I was in their place, feeling the same things that we're feeling. And we can still feel this. We can still be stirred by the word of God when we have an open heart. We can definitely be stirred. I remember our brother from Honduras and my uncle. He used to be a gospel preacher for most of his life. He began preaching. He was younger than 15. He was way young when he began preaching. He went to preaching school in Mexico City, left his small town of Victoria, and went to Mexico City to study to be a preacher. And then from there, he went to Yucatan Peninsula in South Mexico. Then he went to Honduras. And he was establishing congregations where there were no congregations. And in one of the places where he established a congregation, there was a certain man that I got to meet, one of his disciples, which he had baptized. And then this gentleman, he was really passionate. And I was about 15 years old when this gentleman from Honduras told me, "Rafael, have you ever cried when you read the Bible?" No one before have asked me a question like that, or never have I thought about it. I said, "Is the Bible to make you cry?" And he said, "The Bible should make you cry, should stir you up," he said. And this was a man on fire. He brought pictures to show my uncle, because my uncle had baptized him, and he said, "These are my fruits, which are your uncle's fruits, because he's the one that taught me the gospel." And he showed me pictures of groups of people he had baptized, and this man was on fire. And he was so much on fire that, Honduras is already very dangerous, and San Pedro Sula is the more dangerous city in this continent. And I don't know where he lived. I don't remember the place, but he was killed by a gunshot by gangs in Honduras. And he died a faithful preacher. And nothing will stop him from preaching the gospel. And I feel like he was like one of these disciples, stirred up as he was reading the gospel accounts. Okay, very good. Now, that's the third appearance, okay? And we might not have time, but I'll give you the summary if we don't, okay? Now, we're going to do a little jump, and you don't need to find this verse if you don't want to, but you're taking notes. 1 Corinthians 15:5 tells us that the Lord appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. So remember, so far Jesus had not appeared to the 12 yet. He's appeared to Mary Magdalene. He's appeared to the women. He's appeared to these two disciples on the way to Emmaus. And then before he appears to his disciples, he appears to Peter, as far as 1 Corinthians 15:5 tells us. Okay? He appears to Cephas. So now Peter gets to see him. And this is the fourth appearance. Okay? And then, notice 1 Corinthians 15:5, by Cephas, then by the 12. So Cephas must be between the third and fourth appearances of Jesus. So Peter got to see him before the 12 were gathered together. Okay? Everything so good so far? Okay, very good. All right, now, fifth appearance, finally, to the 12 apostles. Okay, fifth appearance to the apostles. And this was still on the same day, same Sunday, when he rose up. And we have this account again, in Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, notice on Mark 16:14. Later, he appeared to the 11. Okay, and this is the first appearance. And notice how, if we count the appearances, you say, "Well, maybe Raphael is crazy. How in the world is he counting the appearances?" Well, you're going to see it makes sense. It makes sense. You'll see, because notice, this is the first time he appears to the 12. Notice, later, he appeared to the 11. Well, not the 12, excuse me, to the 11, because Judas was evidently was not there anymore, as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Okay? Now, Luke tells us pretty much the same thing. Now, notice John 20, verse 19 through 25. Then the same day, at that evening, okay, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst, and said to them, "Peace be to you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed unto them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive your sins of any, they'll be forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they'll be retained." Okay. All right. Now, seeing and believing. Now, Thomas called the twin. Okay. Now, you see? I'm just trying to put Mark where he belongs. Okay. Now, at this time, Thomas was not there. First appearance to the apostles. So he appeared to 11. Now, the verse I read on Mark, then he belongs to a later appearance where the 11 were together. Okay, so the first time he appears to the apostles, Thomas was not there. As we remember, all remember. Thomas and then when Thomas came and then told him, "We have seen the Lord," he said to them, "Unless I see the hands, the print and the nails, and put my finger through the print of the nail and put my hand on his side, I will not believe." Okay? First appearance to the disciples. Thomas is not there. Okay? And this is, in our count, is the fifth appearance. Now notice, the next appearance that happened. And I'm going to go, and this is in John 20, 26 through 31. Notice John 20, 26. And after 8 days, okay, 8 days had happened, a week had happened. We're in another Sunday. And after 8 days, his disciples, okay, were again inside. And this is the second time he appears to the disciples, to the apostles. Now, and this time, Thomas is there. And now we remember what happened. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace to you." Same thing as a week before. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach and put your hand here and put it to my side. Do you now believe? Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And notice, and Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have been not seen and yet have believed." And he's talking to us here. Okay, we might be thinking, "Oh, poor Thomas, he's being told because he didn't believe." No, he's giving emphasis to those who will believe, have not seen yet. Which means, the rest of us. Okay? So that is, the second appearance to the apostles, which is the sixth appearance in a general count. We're trying to keep. Okay? But now notice the third appearance to the apostles, which is the seventh in the count. And this is a longer account in John 21, beginning at verse 1. This is when the apostles now had gone back. They're no longer at Bethany. They had gone back to Galilee. They're up north again in the Sea of Tiberias. And they were, notice John 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. This is the third time at the Sea of Tiberias. And we remember this story. They were going out fishing, and they saw him. They saw somebody there by the shore. They didn't recognize him again at first, but then when they realized that was him, remember Peter jumped off the boat and swam, and then the rest of the apostles were, there were not all of them there, but the ones who were there, they were bringing back all those fish that they had caught. And then when they got to the shore, Jesus had already fixed breakfast for them, and they said, "Well, bring those fish you brought," and there was already the fire, and that's where the conversation with Peter took place. "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And then he asked this three times. That's on the third appearance. Now, notice something very important. John 21, verse 14. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. See? I was not that crazy after all. It was worth counting the appearances. So this is the it goes along with our counting. Okay? John is saying that this is indeed the third time that he's met with the apostles. Okay? Which makes, in general, the seventh appearance. Okay? We're going to skip that account because it's a longer account. Okay? Now we have another appearance to his disciples, but now in a mountain in Galilee. This is Matthew 28:16-17. Okay, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to a mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Okay, this is the fourth time he meets with his apostles, and this is where he gives them the Great Commission that we read in Matthew 28, and we read in Mark and Luke. He gives them the Great Commission at this time. Fourth time he meets with them. Okay, now because time is about to catch up with us, okay, we have, this is our general eighth appearance. Now we have a ninth and tenth appearances also, and again also to the apostles. And this we find, the ninth appearance is in Luke 24:44, and we read, "Then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me,'" and etc. We know this is a beautiful passage of scripture. And but now he tells them, "Tarry in Jerusalem, stay at Jerusalem." Looks like this fifth appearance, they were now at Jerusalem, because he's telling them, "Tarry in the city of Jerusalem." Either go back to Jerusalem, or if they're in Jerusalem, stay in Jerusalem. Okay, remember, last appearance was in Galilee. Now this is another appearance, and now they're in Jerusalem. Okay? And that's where he predicts that they're going to receive the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, the tenth appearance is the one we read in Acts 1:3-8, where right before he ascended in the Mount of Olives. Okay? And then Acts 1:3-8, and they're being assembled together with him. And then that's where he tells him again to stay at Jerusalem, for they will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. Okay? And then we have his ascension. Okay? I might have rushed through these 10 appearances, but this is what time permits. And then in that last appearance, which was the fifth appearance, fifth appearance to the apostles, that's when he ascends to heaven. Remember, he was there for 40 days. He appeared to 500 men, brethren, at the same time, and he appeared to different other people, okay? But this is the accounts we have recorded. Okay, then he ascended, and this in the Olivet Mount between Jerusalem and Bethany, and that's the last time we see Jesus appearing before he ascends. Because later, he's going to appear a last time to who? In the road to Damascus. To Saul of Tarsus. And that's another appearance we have in the New Testament. And that's the last time he's mentioned appearing or being seen. Next time he'll be seen is going to be for everybody to see it with the sound of a trumpet at his second coming. Thank you so much for your attention. Appreciate your kind attention and comments. God bless you.